You don't have a chance too often to speak on the Al Derech Drush, about the Megillah itself. So I'd like to focus on one particular person in the Megillah who's overlooked very, very quickly in the beginning. And we don't spend too much time thinking about her, but that's Vashti. And what I want to really discuss for the next few minutes, I'm definitely not speaking till Marav, what I want to discuss is what happened to Vashti. Because if you read the Megillah, it's not clear. We all tell our children, and we teach everybody, that Vashti was killed. But if you read the words of the Megillah, you read the Pashup Shat, it just says that Vashti should not be standing more lo savel lifnei amelch, she shouldn't come before the king. And that's the last we hear of Vashti. So, what happened to Vashti at the end of the day? In addition, the Gemara and Megillah Yotes, the Esther Rabbah, seem to assume that Vashti was killed. They take it for granted. But again, if you read the Pesukim, it's not clear how to understand Vashti's end. So come the Rashbam and the Marikra. Both Rishonim explain on Esther and Perek Yotes, which is the pasuk we're discussing, where this suffix arises from. They explain that the Megillah tells us Yotze Dvar Malchus Milafadav. They made a gzera, they made a law regarding Vashti, and the meaning is that Vashti was banished from ever seeing Achashverosh again. There was never ever a moment where Vashti was supposed to be killed. All the Megillah says, if you read the Pashup Shat, is that Vashti was banished and not to see the king evermore. And because she would not come when the king was requested, so Mida Keneged Mida, she's punished, then fine, you don't want to see the king now, so you'll never be part of the king's life again, and you'll be banished from the kingdom, having nothing else to do with the Malchus of Achashverosh. And this is the simple meaning of Asher Lo Savo Vashti Lifnei HaMelech Achashverosh, that Vashti will no longer come before the king Achashverosh. And everyone who says that she was killed is incorrect, says the Rashbam, Shogahu B'Pshut El Shemikra. Anyone who says she was killed doesn't understand how to read Pshat and Megillas Esther, and it's obvious that Vashti was never killed according to the Rashbam. And he says that what was the point of making Gzeira that needed to be sent out to the kingdom, right? If Vashti was dead, right? If that's the simple pshat, that Vashti was killed. So why did Achashverosh need to make a whole law that Vashti's not going to be seen anymore? Of course she's not going to be seen. She's dead. So obviously it must be that the gzeira was made to prevent Vashti from ever coming back to the palace, ever being part of the Malchus once more. And the Marikra in his Peirush seems to view this as a divorce. It's a statement of divorce that Achashverosh and Vashti are no longer married. And this is the pshat according to these three shonim. Comes the Ein Yaakov, on the Ein Yaakov in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and he notes as well that there seems to be no source at all that Vashti was killed. Rather, if you look later on in the Megillah, in Perek Zion, we see that Esther tells Achashverosh, V'ilu la'avadim lushfachos nimkarnu hecharashti, that he's going to sell us into be slaves, into be with shvachos and maid servants and slaves, and I don't want that to be my end. So says the Ein Yaakov, where do we see in Haman's plan that he had any chance of selling anybody? That wasn't his intention. His intention was to kill everybody. Where would Esther get the idea that somebody became the slave of Haman? So the Ein Yaakov explains that Haman took Vashti as his shivcha. After Vashti was kicked out of the palace, Haman took Vashti as his maidservant, and Esther was horrified that if her end would be the same as Vashti, that just like Vashti, the former wife of the king, was taken to be a slave, so too she would be taken to be a shivcha, a slave of Haman. And when Achashverosh heard that Haman had taken Vashti to be his slave, his maidservant, and that possibly he would take Esther to be his maidservant as well, he became enraged, and that's when he decided to kill Haman on the spot. The Chidah, in his parish in Megill, in the Pesach Einayim, so he cites the Ein Yaakov, and he says, the Ein Yaakov made that up. There's no source in Chazal to say that Esther was not killed. And he claims the Ein Yaakov as being molid tolados. He's making up new things that we don't find in Chazal. And the Megillah clearly says, Vayas HaMelech Kidvar Memuchan, that the king did the words of Memuchan. This indicates she was killed. Now the problem with the Chidah is that Memuchan never said that Esther should be killed. So I'm not exactly sure what his proof is, because Memuchan never said that. All Memuchan said is, get rid of her. But he didn't say that she should be killed. So, atzara chin on the Chidah, and we'll leave that over here. The next indication regarding the fate of Vashti is a Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer in Perek Mem Tes. The Medrash there clearly says that Vashti was killed by Achashverosh in line with the rest of Chazal. No questions there. The foremost commentary on the Pirkei Rabbi Ezer is the Radal, Rav David Luria. So he writes there on the Medrash that those who say that she was removed from the Malchus and she was not killed are terribly mistaken, and therefore the Pirkei Rabbi Ezer is coming to explicitly say that she was killed. Ah, why wasn't it stated in the Megillah then? Why not say? Well, how is it so hard for Mordechai and Esther to write, and Vashti was killed? What would be the downside to them? So the Radal says it was out of kavod to the Malchus. They had respect for Vashti. It's unclear why they would have respect for Vashti. Nothing else about her description in the Megillah seems to be respectful. But nevertheless, they had respect for kavod Malchus, and they did not describe her death. The proof is that later Achashverosh should be sad that he couldn't have Vashti back. Right? Achashverosh becomes depressed, morose, that he can't see Vashti again. So says the Radal, what's he upset about? If she's still there, and she's out there somewhere in the lands of Persia, so bring her back. It must be that he's upset because she's dead. And that would be the indication, according to the Radal. However, it's also not clear why the Radal's proof is so sound, because as we explained a moment ago, the king made a gzeri, he made a law that no one could break, that Vashti was banned from the kingdom. And therefore, that's why the king was sad, because this law was unbreakable. Next comes the Manas Halevi, Rosh Shlomo Alkibitz, in his magnum opus on the Megillah. As we've said in the past, Rosh Shlomo Alkibitz, as he writes in his introduction, he wanted to give Mishloach Manos to his father-in-law, but he was so poor that he could not afford food. So he wrote an entire perush on Megillas Esther, as his gift. We discussed in the past, can you fulfill Mishloach Manos by giving Divrei Torah? So Rav Shlomo Alkibitz seems to indicate yes, because he gave his perush as a gift to his father-in-law, because he couldn't afford, I don't know, mandos and pretzels. I'm not sure what they had back then. So he wrote up Divrei Torah instead, and that's what he gave. So what makes Rav Shlomo Alkibitz's perush unique is, first of all, his own chidushim, but also he quotes from chidushim of other Rishonim that we don't have anymore, that have been lost. So it's a window into other Divrei Torah that are not accessible besides looking in the Manas Halevi. So this is one example. The Manas Halevi here in our Pasuk cites Rav Yehuda ibn Shoshan, who notes that there was a certain Chacham, and we'll get back to the critique of this Chacham in a moment, but there was a certain Chacham who had argued that Vashti was not killed. And he cites the above arguments that the Pasuk says Lo Savo Vashti, and therefore it means that she must still be alive. And it also says Umalchuso Yitein HaMelech L'Reyusa, that she's going to give the Malchus to her friend, right? She's going to give the Malchus to another woman. So says this Chacham, if she would be killed, then it's not her Malchus, right? The Pasuk says she's going to give her Malchus to somebody else. But once Vashti's dead, it's not her Malchus anymore. So why would the Pasuk say that? Therefore indicating that Vashti must be alive. And the Svara of why this indiscretion is really not so bad, what'd she do? She didn't come before the king, so that means she should be killed. He says the whole thing is off. This Chacham writes the whole thing is off. It can't be that she was killed. It must be that she was kept alive. So Rav Yehuda ibn Shoshan disagrees vehemently with this approach. And he explains that when Memuchan says, Yatza Dvar HaMalchus, that the matter should come from the king, he means that Achashverosh shouldn't follow the protocol and find a just punishment. Originally, Achashverosh wanted to be a nice guy, right? He calls those who are Yodea Itim, those people who are knowledgeable, what's a fitting punishment for Vashti? I'm not sure what to do. It's all complicated. And all of a sudden, Memuchan comes up and says, Ad Kan, stop being so nice about it. Kill her, wipe her out, end of discussion. And that's what it means, that it shouldn't be. It should be a Dvar HaMalchus. It should come straight from you. It shouldn't come from any of your advisors. Therefore, by default, Vashti cannot come before the king anymore because she would be dead. And the Manas Halevi goes on to say that it was proper for Yehuda ibn Shoshan to write against the anonymous Chacham and to be Mavazahim, to publicly discredit his opinion. Look at what, I'll read you what he writes at the end. He says, Vehein emes, and this is certainly correct, that if this Chacham is who he writes about in his introduction, now, the problem is, we don't know who the Chacham is, because we don't have the Perish of Yehuda ibn Shoshan. So whoever this Chacham is that he calls out in his introduction, Yisaper beGenuso, Migono, Geuso, he calls him out for being so improper in his Gaiva, Kadehu, Habizayna, Shebezo, Al-Kafatzon Hazeh, Asher Melo Liba L'chalok Al-Gemara, this Mechutzav, who's arguing against the Gemara in Chazal, Shenishcha Ta'aruma B'Shabbos, she was shechted on Shabbos, without clothing, K'mo Shiyavu B'Pasag Asher Nigzar Aleha, V'Avar Al-Divrei Chachamim, he's going against the Chachamim, Midrashos Asher Kula Maskim Mazeh, that everybody agrees to, U'B'Tchila Sa'iyah Niflesi Me'Chacham Hameshiv Lame Triach Atzma L'Havil Havalim, why is he working so hard to say such nourishkeit? His words have no source, no smell, and no taste. It goes on to explain why this chacham is so off. Fine, so Shlom Alkabit doesn't like the Perish, not the first time. We'll move on to the next source. The Chassam Sofer, as was his way, he wants to make shalom, he wants to make peace between the two sides. And the Chassam Sofer writes in the Drashos as follows. He says that there are a number of Mefarshim who feel that Vashti was not killed, and instead she was banished from the palace, as we have shown quite clearly. But on the other side, the Gemara Megillah Ayin Tes clearly says that Dekatal Vashti was killed. So what are we supposed to do? Gemara Chazal seems to say she was killed, and the Mefarshim want to say that she wasn't killed. So therefore, this says the Chassam Sofer. He wants to make Shalom, he wants to make a Pshara. He says, Be'emes, really, Vashti was not killed. You're right, she wasn't shechted right then and there. But she was banished from the palace. And she was banished from the palace, she saw her life spin out of control. The king is taking new wives, and he's having a beauty pageant, and she sees how terrible things are for her, and she becomes more and more jealous, more and more enraged, more and more sad. Each time she remembers her former life, it tore her up her side, tore her up inside, made her miserable, and it caused her such pain that perhaps equal or exceeded any pain of death. And each time she remembered it, it drove her further and further to insanity, and eventually became too much for her, and she died or she killed herself, because not being able to be part of the Malchus anymore, seeing that she had lost everything. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, everybody can be right. She wasn't killed by Achashverosh, but she died because she couldn't handle the pressure of not being in the Malchus anymore. There's a similar approach here in the Manos HaLevi, who says that Vashti was held captive. Achashverosh made her watch the beauty pageant. She made her watch the whole thing for a year, so it would drive her nuts, and then she was killed. So she had to see the worst part of her life unfold before her, and then she was killed, and this was a form of torture as well. There's a famous Devarim Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu who says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's better to die 1,000 deaths than to experience a moment of sincere jealousy. That it's so much more painful to have a sense of real kinah for another person than even to die 100 or 1,000 times. The last perish on this discussion is the Targum. The Targum, Rishon, the classic Aramaic commentary here on the Megillah. So he writes on our Pasuk that Haman first said that Vashti shouldn't come before the king. But if she does try to come before the king, then she should be killed. That's how the Targum reads. And the Gra explains that Achashverosh didn't even have the power to kill Vashti, because Vashti was really the key to the kingdom. She was really the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and she really held the power, and he wasn't allowed to kill her. And therefore, Memela, they made a law that she can't come. But if she violates this din, this gzeira, then the king should be allowed to kill her, and perhaps that's what happened. Okay. This leads all to the question. Why is it so unclear? If Vashti was killed, let's assume for a moment Vashti was killed. So if Vashti was killed, why doesn't the Megillah tell us? Why is it so obscure? Why is it so unclear about Vashti's end? So, again, Lefiyani Asdaiti, I think the simple reason is because it's unimportant to the story. What's important to the story is what we're told by Mordechai and Esther. If they want us to know how Vashti died, so they would tell us. I think that's the Pashup shot. It doesn't really matter. However, Rosh Shlomo Kluger has a beautiful parish on everything, but specifically here in Megillas Esther, called the Mimer Esther. So Shlomo Kluger wonders why the Megillah doesn't discuss what happens to Vashti. So he notes that we find a similar fate regarding Lot and his family. It says that the Malach told Lot, "Vayomer himaleid al nafshecha al tabid acharecha." Don't look behind when you're fleeing stone. Right? Ve'al tamod b'chol akikar ha'hari maleid pen tisafeh. Don't stay here, and if you look behind, it's going to be bad for you. Rashi says, how come Lot and his family couldn't look behind to see what happens to stone? So Rashi says what? What does Rashi say? What? They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve to be saved. They were saved in the zechus of Avram Avinu. Ah, so he told them, you don't have the right to see somebody else's downfall like that. If you would have been merited to be saved on your own, then I would say you can look behind you and see what's going to happen to the people of Sodom. But you're just piggybacking off of Avraham Avinu. You have no right to be saved, and therefore you don't have the zechus to see the destruction of Sodom. And therefore, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, the same over here. At that moment in the Megillah, Klal Yisrael had no merits at all to see the downfall of Vashti. You're right, Vashti was a terrible person and she got what she deserved without question. But Klal Yisrael had no zechus to know what happened to her, to know the future of Vashti, to know how she was killed. They had no right to know that because they were on such a low level at that time. Similar to Lot escaping stone. But at the end of the Megillah, after Klal Yisrael have undergone tshuva, kimu v'kiblu kol ha-yehudim, and their lives are much better, then they have the zechus to see the downfall of Haman. Because they're different people. They've raised themselves up, and they merit to see the downfall of their enemy only because they've changed who they are, and they became a better person, and they have their own zechuyos at the end of the day. Okay, so that's very simply, or not so simply, the story of how Vashti was or was not killed. Let's talk about a few more questions related to Vashti. I think you're all wondering, well then, how was Vashti killed? She was killed, so how'd they do the deed? What happened at the end of the day? So here we have a machlokas amongst Mefarshim as well. The Esther Rabbah says that they put her head in a discus. What's a discus? So the Matznas Kahuna on the Esther Rabbah says it's something like a guillotine. He describes something like a guillotine where they put her head in a thing and the blade came down and then no more Vashti, Adkan. Some sort of device that separated her head from her body in some type of form like that. The Targum Rishon also says the Bemuchan advised the king to cut off her head. The Ein Yaakov in Megillah says that Vashti was shechted. The Manas Halevi also says this version as well, that she was decapitated in some form. That's one version of the death of Vashti. The other approach is the Medrash Chayfetz of Rav Zechariah HaRofe. He wants to say Vashti was hanged. This would make sense because if you look across the Megillah, hanging does seem to be the popular mode of dealing with people that you're not fond of. Whether it's Bigson and Teresh, whether it's Haman, it seems to be the go-to way to deal with people that you'd like to be gotten rid of. And therefore, it would make sense that she was probably also hanged as well. You also find, by the way, in Ezra, in the middle of Sefer Ezra in Perek Vav, it says that Daryavish, who was Ben Achashverosh, the son of Achashverosh, said that whoever gets in the way of building the Beis HaMikdash will be hanged. So apparently, in the Persian Empire, hanging was the way to go. And that's probably what happened to Vashti. There is also a way to make shalom between these two pieces as well. The Yalkam Am Loe says that Bigson and Teresh were first beheaded and then hanged on a tree in order to make a point. So first they shechted them, and then they hung the bodies in order to make a point that this is what happens if you go against the king. And in fact, we happen to hint at this as well in Moaz Sur. When we sing about Purim Moaz Sur, we say, Rov Banav V'Kinyan of Ala Eitz Talisa, that most of his children, most of Haman's children, were hanged on a tree. Now, the Mefarshim discuss, what do you mean most of his children? It's not true. Haman had apparently tens and tens of children. Only 10 were hanged, maybe hundreds of children. And so what do you mean that most of his children were hanged? So in Esther it says, V'yisaper lehem Haman es kvod asr oshro, v'rov banav. So it means rov banav. So Tosus in Shabbos Sadi Bey says that the sons of Haman were hanged without their heads. So when it means rov banav, that the most of the children of Haman were hanged, it means most of their body. It doesn't mean percentage-wise most of the sons, it means rov banav. The majority of the body of each of Haman's sons were hanged, because the head is only 10%, whatever it is, and the 90% was hanged from a tree. So Rov Banav, the majority of the sons, were hanged. That's according to the Tosfos and Shabbos. So it's over here. We can make a pshara. Vashti was beheaded, and then she was hanged, and that's how we can decide what happened to Vashti at the end of the day. I know the next question you're wondering is, well, how old was she when this happened? Was she very old? Was she young? How old was Vashti at these events? So, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz in the Aras Dvash asks a different question. He wants to know, how come Achashverosh needed to ask Yodea Itim? Why did he have to ask Chazal about what to do with Vashti? What did they have to offer to this discussion about how to treat Vashti? So, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz explains that when a person comes before the court, they ask how old the person is in order to know how to try the individual. If a person is a ben noach, if a person is a guy, so you're only punished in court if you're 20 years old. If you're below 20, there's no misas basin. If you're above 20, then you're punished in court. So this applies in this world, in Olam HaEmes, for Gaim, they're only punished above the age of 20. So write to the Yalkut Shimoni, that Achashverosh married Vashti when she was a Na'ara. What's a Na'ara in Halacha? She was 12 and a half. So Achashverosh marries Vashti when she was 12 and a half. Her father dies after 7 years. So that means at this point, Achashverosh becomes the king when Vashti is 19 and a half. The Suda took 6 months, so now Vashti is 20 years old. However, if she's going to be tried in court, depends if it's a leap year or not. If it was a leap year, so then she's just shy of, if it's not a leap year, she's just shy of 20 years old, and she can't be tried and punished in court. But if it was a leap year, everything is pushed off another month, and she's not 20 years old. But if it was not a leap year, she's 20 years old, that coming Adar, and therefore she'd be 20 and she'd be tried and killed. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, Achashverosh needed to ask Chazal, was this a leap year, or is it not a leap year? Because if it wasn't a leap year, so then she could be tried since she's 20. But if it was a leap year, and Adar wasn't going to be for the next month, then she's still 19 and a half, and therefore he couldn't try her. And therefore, according to Rav Yonah Eibeshitz, she was somewhere around 20. Yeah. The party was, yeah. But he wants to say, Yonasan Eibeshitz wants to say that, I don't remember. You have to go back and look at the drasha. Okay, Akasha, Sarachim. But he wants to say that she's around 20. Good. Let's get to the last point, and this is, when was Vashti killed? What date on the calendar, if we wanted to have a Yurtzeit celebration in memory of Vashti Amalka, so what day was that on the calendar? So Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz again gives three different approaches to what date Vashti was killed. The first is Yom Kippur. And he argues, this is in Chelek Aleph and Drush Gimel, that the seventh day of the Suda on which Vashti was killed was Yom Kippur. Why was the seventh day, the last day of the Suda, Yom Kippur? So the Manas HaLevi says that the 180-day Suda, the first Suda, began in the summer. The reason is that it says it was Yamim Rabim. That period was Yamim Rabim. We already know the Suda was for 180 days. The Megillah already says that. And then the Megillah says it was also Yamim Rabim. So says the Manas HaLevi, if it was already 180 days, what does Yamim Rabim come to tell me? Many days. So he says Yamim Rabim is not describing the number of days, it is describing the length of the day. It occurred in the days in which the days were long. The summer are the days when the days are long, and therefore everything occurred in the summertime. So the 6 months of the summer from Nisan to Tishrei is only 177 days. Therefore, the 180th day is Gimel Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia. Then there was a special Suda for the people of Shushan, which was 7 days. And therefore, says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, the last of the Suda was Yom Kippur, and Vashti was killed on Yom Kippur. That is approach number one. The second approach he offers is that she was killed on Shushan Purim in 2 days. He argues again in a different drush in Chelek Beis, and he calculates that the day Vashti was killed was Tesvav Adar. The Megillah says that the Suda began Bishnash Shalosh Lamalcho in the third year of his reign. The Gemara Shoshana says that Malchi Umas Olam, the non-Jewish kings, they begin their count from Tishrei. That year was a leap year, according to one opinion. If you count 180 days from Tishrei, it means that it ended on the 3rd of Adar Sheni. The Manas HaLevi says Yamim Rabim means 5 days. Why? Because Yamim, the fewest plural is 2. Rabim, more than that, is 3. 5 plus 3 is 2. So it means 5 more days. And therefore, it's now the 8th of Adar after the first Suda is over, plus another 7 days, which means the second Suda that Vashti was killed on was Shushan Purim, according to this approach. Therefore, we can actually add, this is not Rav Yonah Seibishit says, this is me, so if you like it, I don't care. Rav Yonah Seibishit says, I say that we have another reason now to celebrate on Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim is the death of Vashti HaRasha, the terrible Vashti, and we have reason to celebrate with the downfall of Vashti on this day. It was the Hakdama of the Refuah for the Makkah, because without Vashti dying, Esther would have never had a place, and then nothing would have been solved. So really, Shushan Purim is really the beginning of the end of the downfall of our enemies, because that's when Vashti is killed. He also argues that it was the first day of Pesach. So in a different drasha, he suggests that the seventh day of the Mishnah and the day Vashti was killed is the first day of Pesach. This assumes the same exact calculation, except for that it wasn't a leap year. So that means everything was a month before. It was the first day of Pesach on Tesvav Nisan. This would also mean, by the way, that with poetic justice, again, he doesn't say this, but it would mean with poetic justice that Vashti died on the same day as her father, Belshazzar. Because the Haggadah we say, Mishtaker Beklei Kodesh, Nerag Bo Belaila. In the song we sing at the end of the Haggadah, we say all the things that happened on Leil Pesach, and one of those things is that Belshazzar drank from the Klei Kodesh, and he was killed for partaking of the Klei HaMikdash. And therefore, Vashti, HaRasha, and her father, who was also a Rasha, were both killed on the same day in very nice poetic justice. So, we reviewed a lot related to Vashti and her death. Hopefully, when we get to the 19th pasuk of the first parak, we'll have a lot to think about in those few seconds as we read that pasuk to chazer everything we said and to have a better appreciation for Vashti and her downfall. Okay?